Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 118, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. As thirst the heart for cooling flood, so longs my soul, O living God, to taste thy grace. When unto thee shall I draw near, O when within thy courts appear, and see thy face. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 118.
Thank you. for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to John, thereof the 5th chapter, the first 16 verses. John chapter 5, but first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But when I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed, and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it was thy Sabbath day. Oh, what a beautiful day, what a blessed day that it was for that man. Oh, it had begun in so much despondency, and it did end with so much rejoicing, and it was all because thou didst appear, and because thou didst come, and because thou didst work a miracle. O Lord, thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. O we beseech thee, could it please thee to give us such a day in thy house of prayer? Could thou give us such an hour that we also may experience thy power, and that thou wouldest come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that do water the earth? Oh, we are so undeserving of the least of all thy notice or attention, But Lord, what is now pleasing unto thee? And wilt thou be pleased with whole burnt offerings and sacrifices? Oh, what can we bring unto thee? Can we bring unto thee all of our deeds and all of our works? Thou knowest that they are all corrupt. Oh, can we bring unto thee the desires of our heart? Lord, thou knowest that they are all after this world, except that thou givest the true desire in our heart. Oh, can we bring unto thee our own righteousnesses? Oh, thou sayest and thou seest them, and that they are all as filthy rags. Oh, what can we then present unto thee in this hour, and that thou wouldest come down, and that thou wouldest cause a blessing to rest upon us and our children? Oh, did thy servant not say, nothing in my hands I bring, as simply to thy cross I cling? Oh, the power of that cross, that we may be given to see a little of it in this hour. Those that are despondent, those that have no place to go. Oh, what is so delightful, Lord, unto thee? Is it not to deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also when he hath no helper, no man to help him? Oh, then thou comest to deliver such ones. Oh, thou knowest also in the midst of us where that they are. We beseech thee that thou mayest look upon them in thy great mercy. Oh, it is all so undeserved from our side. We deserve that thou wouldest cut us off and cast us away from thee, each and every one of us. But, oh, we beseech thee to take reasons out of thyself, and thy dear and only begotten Son, art thou not so well pleased in him? Or has he not finished everything that thou gavest him to do? Hast thou not raised him from the dead? Hast thou not said unto him that thou wilt glorify him with a seed that will serve him? Oh, then come, Lord, come and look upon thy own promise, and that thou wouldest do it for thy dear Son's sake, and that we may be the blessed recipients undeservedly of all thy mercies and of all thy grace. Oh, then we shall give unto thee that gold of Sheba. Oh, then we shall come to give unto thee forever and forever that name that shall endure as the sun. Oh, Lord, then it will be an eternal glory. It will be an eternal wondering. It will be an eternal marveling that thou hast looked upon such as we are, who have gone so long in our life under the means of grace with so many blessings, and we have sinned them all away. Oh, we are worse than the heathen, and we are worse than all that do lay in the prisons. Lord, thou knowest that we all, if Sodom and Gomorrah, oh, when it will be for them an eternal suffering, then it shall be worse for us. Oh, that thou wouldst then look upon us, take us children, young people and older ones, by heart and by hand in this hour, and do for us as thou hast done for that poor man, as we have read about in thy holy word. Oh, that there may be such desires that are going out of the hearts of this people. Oh, many, Lord, could it be each and every one of us, and when we may hear such things out of thy holy word, oh, that our hearts might melt. Oh, that our hearts may go out to thee, who doest everything for those who can do nothing from their own side, who are sitting in despondency. Oh, do it, Lord, for thy great name's sake. Care for all the poor and all the needy, for thou art he. And despite all our iniquities, and despite that it is our own fault, dost look upon the poor in the midst of this world. And thou carest for the widows and the widowers and the orphans. Oh, may it be experienced also among us, and that thou may give also that our youth and our children may in the days of their childhood, and that they may be given already that hunger and that thirst for those cooling floods. Oh, that thou wouldst give while they are still young those desires that live not in us by nature. Oh, it can only be by a new birth. And thou sayest that a man must be born again, else he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Lord, whose power is it? It is not in our own power. And brought we ourselves forth into this world as one of thy children have begun with themselves. Oh, Lord, then it will all come to an end. And but thy work, oh, that is so blessed, that is so powerful, and that is so enduring, because thou forsakest not the work of thy own hands. Oh, that it might be experienced then in our midst. Remember each and every one of thy true and dear children. Thou knowest also where they are in this day. Thou knowest the condition of that life that thou hast put in their souls. We do not know it. We are ignorant of one another. But thou art that great Spirit, and thou knowest everything, and thou art everywhere, and thou art also all-powerful to continue and to uphold thy own work when it can seem that everything is so dead and so dry and that there is nothing left. Oh, then there are so many fears so often that a man has begun with himself. Then there is so many accusations of that prince of darkness, that it never was anything, and that it is nothing, and that it all shall come to nothing. O Lord, thou knowest the fears, and thou knowest also what it means to become older. Thou knowest that there are those who have already a foot in the grave. O time that ever flows, and all as a rolling stream, it bears its sons away. Oh, we cannot stop it. And our life also, the life of each and every one of us, is quickly drawing near unto the grave. Remember those that have become old under thy word. Lord, thou knowest also what can live in their heart. And when they know what is necessary, and when they have to say, I do not have yet what I need to go through this life and to go out of this life. Oh, thou knowest also the place where they are. And when the heart becomes harder and colder, oh, Lord, when the conscience that does not speak as it did in the days of their youth, when they cannot bring a single tear to flow out of their heart, oh, Lord, care for them in thy mercy. Hear thou the needy when they cry. Save thou their souls when death draws nigh, and glorify thy own great and holy and worthy name. Oh, take us then, Lord, each one of us from all the service of this world, and make us to be slaves of thee, willing slaves, willing servants in thy kingdom. Oh, give us to enter into thy fold, where thou art that great shepherd, and where thou leadest beside the still waters, and in the green and fat pastures of free and sovereign grace. Oh, there is so much food there for those who are wretched and miserable in themselves. Oh, there is grace, Lord. There is free and sovereign grace for those who have sinned it all away, and who cannot think one good thought, and who cannot do one good deed, who have not one good and pure motive in their heart. Lord, oh, it is all of grace, a free and sovereign grace. Show it unto us each and every one, and give us to cry out to thee for it, while it is still a day of grace and a time of salvation. And for that time so quickly is passing away, and then it shall be forever and ever too late. And we shall think only back
upon the great privileges that we had in our life, and there to chastise ourselves forever and forever, and there to be in the presence of thy Spirit, in the wrath of thy Spirit, but never to partake of thy favor and never of thy communion, a great gulf being fixed between us and thee. Oh, give us impressions, Lord, of these things. Oh, who can give that unto themselves? We are of the earth, earthy. Do it for us, Lord. Take reasons out of thy dear and only begotten Son. Help each one in all the needs and the cares of this life. Thou knowest they are all so many. We do not know all what they are, but each house has its own cross. Each heart has its own pain. Lord, wilt thou supply in all the needs? Oh, draw to thy blessed footstool, who art so good unto us as our creator, but also as our provider day by day. Break our stony hearts thereunder, and give us to bow so deeply before thee, that we may be given to love thee with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our might and our neighbor as ourself. Look upon all the needs of country, land, and people, and all the needs of thy church over the length and the breadth of this whole world. Remember thou us as a consistory. Thou knowest the many labors of each one. Care for the wives and the children also. Lord, wilt thou supply strength for the day and give wisdom also for all of our work. And wilt thou bless us in this hour undeservedly for thy name's sake, and come amongst us feelingly, Lord, believingly, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 112 all the stanzas. Before thy people I confess the wonders of thy righteousness. And thou knowest, Lord, that I have made thy great salvation known, thy truth and faithfulness displayed, thy loving kindness shown. 1 through 4 of 112.
Thank you.
beloved congregation, we are, all of us, now another week closer to our arraignment at the heavenly court. Do we still have two hands? Do we still have two feet? Do we still have two eyes? Are they too precious to us to give up for the sake of spiritual blessings? We have just heard out of God's word of an impotent man. We would say, boys and girls, he had no feet. Why? Did he cut them off? No. The Lord did. Do you need help? The Lord can help you. Will you pray for that? No, we will not pray for that. But it is a great blessing if the Lord helps us. We read about Lot, that he lingered, and that lingering was very dangerous. And the angels of the Lord knew that. And what do we read? We read that they took hold of the hand of Lot and of the hand of his wife and of the hand of his two daughters. The Lord being merciful unto him, and brought them forth and set them without the city. The Lord knows what is necessary for his elect, who cannot help themselves, who will not help themselves. Why? Because of the love of sin. And we do not just pray against ourselves, but there are those who may kiss the rod when the Lord helps them and when the Lord blesses them, as David says, it was good for me that I have been afflicted. The words of our text can be found in the portion that was read to you at John 5. And thereof, this portion of verse 7, only these words, I have no man. So far the words of our text. Our theme is no man. First, an unconquering despair. And second, an unexpected deliverance. No man. First, an unconquering despair. And second, an unexpected deliverance. Our text, congregation, brings us to Jerusalem. It brings us to the sheep market. There we read there was a pool, and by that pool there were five porches. That place was called Bethesda, and in those porches lay impotent folk. We read it was a great multitude of impotent folk. How much misery can be found in this world. Misery that we read of here is a picture. How do we know that? Well, we read that also further here because the Jews argued with the Lord Jesus Christ. They argued about his authority, what authority that he had to do the things that he did in the midst of his church. And the Lord Jesus said, John, bear witness of me. That means he says, John already spoke of me. But he says, I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Thus what works were they? They were the works of miracles which the Lord Jesus did. Thus those miracles were not just for the purpose of helping men physically, as the Lord Jesus has done so many times, to give sight unto the blind and to make the lame to walk and the dumb to speak and the deaf to hear. But the Lord Jesus says, these things that I do, these works that I do, they are for a witness. Thus, they are to witness his authority and why that the Father sent him into the world, and that it was he, his only begotten Son, that he had sent into the world. Thus, in those miracles, the Lord Jesus bestowed great power. Or are you ever looking for that same power that the Lord Jesus has showed in the midst of this world? The Lord Jesus also showed great mercy to those who were poor, to those who were helpless and miserable and unworthy creatures. Thus we have the witness that the Lord Jesus has given, and that the Lord Jesus says that is a witness for other things, because the Lord Jesus did not come here merely to do those things. But the Jews did not comprehend, they did not understand this witness. Do we understand it? Do we comprehend it? Oh, let us not cleave to all of the things that are earthly and that are carnal, but that our minds and that our souls may be lifted up above all the earthly things to those things which are heavenly, those things which are spiritual. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. Where were they? They were at this pool. Was that pool special? No, not in of itself. But there was something special happening there. There was something special about that place, because in that place, the Lord was showing, and it was being given to be experienced, and that the Lord's Spirit was at that place. Because we read, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Thus, that was a very spiritual place. The spirits from heaven, they were descending there at the command of the Father of spirits. And the Spirit of the Lord that was very evidently in this place. Is that not a great wonder that the Lord on high is so active for those who are poor, for those who are helpless, for those who are needy, for those who have no strength, for those who are persecuted? And they are all miseries which we have brought upon ourselves, so that we do not deserve that the Lord would look upon us, even in such circumstances. But what does James say? He says the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And now what is that for? Or is that just for this life? When the Lord shows something of who he is, his attributes, his character, then that is not congregation merely, that he may help needy people in the midst of this world in earthly things, but it is for the need of souls, because what is so poor as the soul of a fallen man, all that is so much more miserable than all the misery that he can experience in his body. And now we read the Lord is very pitiful. The Lord is of tender mercy. Oh, do you believe that? That you may bow your knees before such a God and take unto him all the poverty and all the need, and that you do experience in your soul. So we see there is a great multitude. It is a great multitude that is lying at this pool. That is a wonder, is it not? That so many people will be so interested in this place. We'd say, young people, that must be a very spiritually minded people, that they are interested in coming to such a place where the Spirit of the Lord is working and where that Spirit of the Lord is evident. You say that must be a very religious people then. That must be a people who have a desire after God. Is that so? You say no. What kind of people are they? They are sick people. That is right. They are sick people. Thus, that is something. That all those people are in this place. Do you see what is now the profit of those infirmities that the Lord has placed upon all of these people? Because it is that infirmity that is now the means of drawing this people unto this very special place. Because they are people with hearts the same as everyone else. Or they have hearts that would also otherwise desire to be in the midst of this world, doing everything and enjoying everything that everyone else with such a fallen heart is desiring and hungering and thirsting for in the midst of this world. And now their disease, their infirmity, that is not very pleasant for their flesh, but that infirmity is extremely profitable. Why? Because it is now that infirmity that is drawing them onto this place. And so that instead of being here and there in the midst of this world, here they are lying. Here they are where that Spirit of the Lord is working so evidently, and so their infirmity is a great blessing in disguise. How is that with us? Because we by nature do not have a desire for spiritual things. No, we are carnal. We are sold under sin. We are of the earth, earthy, and we are admonished by the Lord Jesus. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. But, oh, how is it with us? Do we not have to experience that we are not ready to give up the least of our earthly pleasures for spiritual things? But if now the Lord is merciful unto us, as he was merciful also unto Lot, oh, then he will help us. He will help us like he helped this man. And then the Lord cut off his feet for him. And when the Lord brought him unto this pool, oh, the Lord is able to take away all the enjoyment and all the pleasure in one moment. Believe that, young people? And everything that we do, not only young people, all of us, when we are in the midst of this world and everything that we may enjoy in this world, the pleasures in this world. Oh, the Lord can take that pleasure away in just a moment. Oh, He can make you to see that there is nothing in it, that it is all vanity, and that it leaves your heart so, so empty. I have no man. That was one particular poor man here. He is by the pool. We do not know how long that he has been lying there. We read that he has had this infirmity already for 38 years. That is a long time. And there is no solution. Have you also an infirmity with no solution for a long time? Have you the infirmity of sorrow of soul as you walk through this world? And how long have you been walking in the midst of this world with this infirmity? This man has no solution for it. And it is not because that he has not tried. No, he has placed himself in the way. He has placed himself where the Lord is working. Have you done that too? Time and again. Oh, coming up unto that house of the Lord. Oh, time and again. Going into that secret place, into your inner closet, and there bowing your knees, taking up the Word of God, and that which is based on that Word of God. No, it was not for want of trying that this man has yet no solution. He has watched many people come and go from this place, from the place where he was lying. And then he has seen them. He has seen them experience the power of the Spirit of God to give them healing for their bodies. He has seen the misery. He has seen the agony. And he has seen the rejoicing. He has seen them take up their beds and go away from this place with great gladness and in hopeful anticipation. This man is waiting here. Oh, how often he has sighed in his heart. How many times has he not sighed in his heart and said, Lord, if it could be, that this time it may be not only for others, but this time that it might be for me. And every time again, oh, then he is disappointed. Every time again, it was now for someone else. And what was the problem? What was the problem for this man? The problem for this man, congregation, lies in the application. In the application. He sees that water, and when that water is moving, and when it receives that power from on high, when all he believes, and that could he but enter into that water, or he believes that he also could be cured by it, but, oh, it is in the application. Because it is not for want of trying, but that man, he cannot come there. Oh, do you know the life of this man? He is impotent. He is truly impotent. That means he has no power. He has no power within himself. Joram, we read, went to Jezreel to be healed of his wounds. With this man, it was so different. No, he could not get there. And why could he not get there? It was because the very disease that he had, the very disease that he had, was the thing that was standing in the way of his cure. The very disease that he had, that was his greatest hindrance. Do you feel that? Do you say the disease that I have, the death that is in me, that is preventing me, that is preventing me from receiving the cure for my disease? And so that man stands in such a predicament here. That man was invited to that pool. Say, I don't read that. That is right. Don't read that. And yet, why was that man there? Because he heard that invitation. So how did he hear that? Oh, because it was declared unto him that there at that pool, that there was power. That there was power for those who had no power. And thus that invitation that is not declared with the mouth, but that invitation that is implied. And that people, they hear that invitation. All that is the same with the Word of God. Because that invitation that is on every page of the Word of God, no, that is not all stated outright, but it is, the greatest part of it is all implied. Ah, who hears that? Who hears that invitation? It is those who are sick. When it is declared that that gospel message, oh, then they are coming. And then they hear that invitation. This poor man tried to come. He tried to get there. How do we know that? Well, he says that. He says, as while I am coming. And so he has tried. Or he has tried to put the strength in his muscles and tried to move his body. He tried to come, but he could not come to that pool. How is that? You ever feel that? Does your soul ever hear those invitations? Those invitations that are going out from that holy scriptures in the declaration of the cleansing power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, and then you hear, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Oh, and then your soul tries to come. Ah, but your soul says, but I don't know what that means. I don't know how to do that. I have no power to do that. I have no man. And when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. That was no light matter for this man. You can hear that in his voice. He is greatly distressed and he is active in the desires of his soul. He is watching children every day. is watching carefully. There's a multitude of people that is there at that sheep market. And that man in the middle of all those people, he is looking there always at the water. He is watching to see if that water is moving. He is looking for that power. He is looking for the presence of the Spirit of the Lord, whereby he is able to receive that power. Oh, he is watching there every day, but he is impotent in the application. I have no man. Oh, that poor man. He has come to despair. All his strength, he says that is worth nothing. And now there is also no man to help me. He feels so alone. There are a multitude of people around him, but he feels so alone. He is alone in his affliction because no one can help him in his affliction. You ever feel that? In the midst of a family, your father, your mother, your children, or can be maybe a large family, and you feel all alone because there is no one that can give to me what I need as I am traveling to eternity. And there is no one can take the burden of the guilt of my sin. There is no one that can help me to rid me of that burden, despair. That congregation is an awful thing. Satan drives a man to despair. Does the Lord do that? No, the Lord does not do that. He does not do that. But do you know what the Lord does? The Lord takes away false grounds. The Lord takes away hopes that are not true hopes. The Lord empties in order that the Lord may fill. Oh, this man, you say he despairs. He says, I have no man. Is that a complete despair then? Is that an entire despair? It is not. So how do you know that? Because of where he is still lying. Because he is still lying at the pool. And if we will go to that man and we will say to a man, why do you lie here? How are you ever going to come there? All these years, and you have tried over and over again. And what will that man tell you? He will say, I have no answer. I have no answer. I do not know. I have no solution for this. I have no man. And yet, he does not go away. And that congregation is the important thing. That is the telling thing. That he does not go away. Why? Because his despair does not conquer him. His despair does not conquer him. He is kept. He is kept by the preserving grace of God. And that is why we set our first point. It is an unconquering despair. Even though that man has no idea of a solution for himself. But he just lays there. He lays there in that place where the Spirit of the Lord is working. Let us sing 66, 2, 3, and 4. Turn to me and thy grace impart. I am desolate indeed. Great the troubles of my heart. Save thou me, O Lord, I plead. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 66. Conquering despair, second and unexpected deliverance. And Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. What case? I have no man. Lying where that spirit is moving. Longing for the blessing. cannot miss their blessing, having no power to apply it unto himself. That was his case. That was his case. Is that also your case? Says that the Lord knew that he had been now a long time in that case. Oh, how long? How long have you been in such a case? Temporary faith. That is not a long time in that case. Never comes in that case. But there is no depth of earth. That is not lying a long time. But it is quickly coming up. And then there is, the Bible says, quickly a solution for the case of temporary faith. This man, congregation, is so close. He is so close to the solution. He is lying there. He is lying there. At the fountain. He's lying there right next to the waters. We would say all he needs to do is step down. So that is simple. What could be more simple? And then he will receive that blessing. And yet he cannot do it. You ever feel that? So close. You are so close. We are so close. Under the preaching, under the reading, under the administration, oh congregation, we are so, so close. Maybe you say sometimes, all that I need to do is believe. Is believe. It seems like such a simple thing, doesn't it? But I cannot do it. Then I might just as well be miles and miles away. Because that simple thing is so, so impossible. Suddenly, this impotent man is shaken out of his melancholy thoughts. There is a man, and he stands before him. You say, there are many people. Yes. But this man comes and he addresses him. He stands before him and he asks him a question. Wilt thou be made whole? I say, what a question. What a question. Does that man need now to answer that question? Oh, sir. Can you not see where that I am lying? Can you not see that I have been here time and time again? Can you not see the greatness of my infirmity? Oh, to be made whole, if I could only, if I could be rid of this wretched and this sinful heart. If I could be made whole, oh, if the Lord would only make me right before him, if he would take away this burden upon my back, oh, to be made whole, what would that now be? To live such a life in communion with him and to receive the blessings
that he has in store. Oh, to be made whole. And then, but, oh, no, I cannot. I cannot, because I have no man. But that stranger speaks again. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And congregation, then the miracle takes place. Oh, then that man feels something. Oh, he feels something in his body. He feels the strength that is coming into his body. He feels the healing that is going even unto his very bones. Oh, it is a strange, it is a very delightful sensation. Immediately we read, he was made whole. And immediately he was enabled to comply with the demand of the Lord and to receive that coveted blessing. What do we read? And he took up his bed and walked. The Lord is a surprising God. Oh, his deliverances, they are coming in such a surprising way, in such a moment as we had never thought. Paul says faith is a gift of God. And now faith, that is not the end. That is not the blessing. No, that is the means by which that blessing is received by that people. And now faith, oh, we would say that was evident in that man already. Already, before this. What was that when he was lying there? And when he was looking? And when he was waiting, and through every discouragement, and through all those years, that man did not go away from that place. Why not? Oh, because there is only one place that he is able to receive that blessing from. But now, that faith receives a new object. A new object. He is not looking there at the waters now. At whom is he looking? He is looking at the mediator. He does not know that he is the mediator. He does not know who he is. But that mediator speaks. And when that mediator speaks, then the words of that mediator become an object of faith for this man. Oh, then he believes that word that Christ has spoken. You say, what does he believe? Well, there is a promise that is hidden. There is a promise that is couched. There is a promise that is implied in those words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. That man does not comprehend it all. No, it is all flowing out of the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That promise that faith is given to take hold of in that moment. And all that happens all so very, very suddenly, we would say it is just in the blink of an eye. Do you remember what Bunyan says? Goodwill gave him a pull. Oh, and then that man finds himself in that moment.
on the inside. And then suddenly, as suddenly as Christ appears, so suddenly he disappears. We read a multitude being in that place. And now that man, he is left there. He is left there to wonder. He is left there to wonder at what has just taken place. The miracle that has just taken place within him. To wonder and then to contemplate. Who is that man who has spoken these words? No, he does not know him. Later when he is asked, who has commanded you to take up your bed and walk? Oh, he was not able to tell who that the Lord Jesus Christ was. Say, how can that be? Oh, what do we so often say to you? That Christ needs to be revealed. He needs to be revealed to our soul. When we have no man, when we have been stripped of every other way. But you say, what does that mean? Then for Christ to be revealed to our soul, what does Paul say? He says, for by grace are ye saved. That is, congregation, very different than merit. For by grace are ye saved. And that is now what needs to be revealed to our soul. When we have no man, and when everything of merit has now been so completely cut off as it was for this man. That is what Luther experienced, didn't he? When he read that. Oh, when he struggled as this impotent man, then you can see him there too, can you not? Day after day, night after night, but he could not receive that forgiveness in his soul that his soul so longed after. And then he has stayed there in that word of God over and over and over again. Oh, and he has done as was said and by that church at that time, to confess it, to confess it, to confess it unto that priest, and never receiving. And then in one moment, oh, the just shall live by faith. And then he saw it. Oh, then his eyes went open, and then his heart went open, and then he may receive that blessing of the Lord. And then he may say, oh, it is so free. Oh, that it is without money and that it is without price. That congregation is now the most essential act of faith. Oh, when that soul begins for the first time in our life to cast itself upon the grace of God. And then there is, oh, there is for a moment such a rest and such a peace. Oh, only to see from where all that blessing can come in and through that grace of God. There is no rest. There is no peace outside of that grace that is as wide as the ocean. And still it is possible that a man does not dare to say that he knows who Christ is. Ah, you say, did not Christ reveal himself to them? Indeed he did. And yet he himself has stayed so hidden. What has he shown to them? Ah, he has shown to them his work. He has shown to them a new covenant, a new and a living way. He has shown to them that there is nothing that is now required from their side. Oh, he has opened that way. And that way that has gone so open, and they have perceived it with all their heart and with all their soul, that their soul has rejoiced in that way of grace. And yet, what do we read later? Oh, this man cannot say that he knows who it was. And therefore the Lord Jesus comes again to him. Oh, that is what that people need. That is what that people desire. Oh, that he would come again. That they might know him. And that they might know him in his person. And all that he would show to them more, because in those moments, it is such a blessed moment. All to see what that grace of God is. And then that soul is so relieved. And then to say, oh, could I know more of him? And he indeed, he is showing himself again unto this man. And immediately, the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Oh, congregation, is that now not such a beautiful thing? That was such an offense unto the Pharisees and to the scribes. But oh, that blessed Sabbath day that the Lord has given in the midst of his church, that he may work those miracles of grace. Oh, do you come here for that, children? Do you come here for that, young people? Up to that house of the Lord. Oh, the Sabbath day, that is a day of rest. Oh, that man, that was the first time in many, many years that that man can come up on his feet. We would say instead of lying down. But now that man received for the first time that rest. Oh, do you also lay? Do you lay like this poor man? Do you lay there Sunday after Sunday, close by those waters, those living waters, laboring? Laboring that you may enter, as Paul says, oh, that we might enter into his rest. Oh, how is it? How is it now when we are lying there? So close unto that fountain. Do you lie there looking, watching? Do this, children. Oh, Lord, today, for me, do you do that? Asking the Lord that he will send his Spirit to move those waters that would be in the midst of us. Oh, then you lie there looking. You lie there watching. You lie there longing. You lie there hoping. And maybe desponding. Because you say, I have no man. I have no man that can put me into that water. And still you are waiting. Waiting. Why, you say, well, where else can I go? Oh Lord, thou hast the words of eternal life. Oh, what does he say to you? What does he say to you in that word of God? Oh, he says to you, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou alone can open our eyes, that we may behold thy grace. Oh, it is by that grace that thou dost cast all the sins behind thy back and into that great ocean, oh, that there may be eyes to see it, that there may be faith given to receive it by those who are impotent. All then it is to be experienced that it all comes from thee. And then thou art to be glorified, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and the Omega. Forgive all of our many, many sins. Bless thy holy word. Be with us in the rest of this day, and wilt thou keep us on thy holy day. Give desires for holy things, and give a blessing upon them, and wilt thou help us in this week. Hold help in catechizing, confession class, wilt thou remember in house visitations when we hope to gather also. In this week for a topic, wilt thou help in all these things? And each one in the laboring to support households, the mothers in their homes, the school, Lord, thou knowest all our needs. That is all temporal. We have a soul. Give us to think thereon, forgiving all that is amiss for Jesus' sake. Amen. 79, all the stanzas. My God, it was thy grace that did my strength supply. When thou didst hide thy face, sore troubled then was I. To thee I cried, O Lord, to thee I made my supplicating plea. 1, 2, and 3 of 79. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.